MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Monday, August 14, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. Sunny today, temperatures in the low 80s, high tide Gloucester Harbor, 11:01 a.m. and 11:04 p.m. The water supplier for Salem and Beverly has joined a lawsuit that challenges new state rules that ban outside watering during a drought. Paul Layton writes in today's Salem News that the new regulations would cut revenue and lead to higher water rates for customers in the cities. Bradley Perrin, the deputy director of the Salem and Beverly Water Supply Board, said that the new regulations do not take into account the storage capacity that can be used during dry periods. He notes that they have approximately 4 billion gallons of water in storage to be prepared for any droughts. The state's auditor, Diane DeZoglio, is moving forward with her plans to audit the state legislature. Salem News State House reporter Christian Wade is reporting today that since the House and Senate leadership will not open their books for an audit, she will now be pushing for a ballot question that would ask voters to authorize the investigation. The Gloucester City Council has approved the creation of no parking zones 25 feet from the pedestrian crosswalk on Roger Street near Gorton's Seafood. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Gloucester Times that the ordinance received unanimous support from the City Council. The Gloucester 400 events are currently honoring the city's fishing industry. Last weekend, there were celebrations with food. This week, the organization will be honoring those in the United States Coast Guard, as well as additional celebrations. And the Coast Guard is looking for a missing fisherman out of Nantucket. WCVB-TV is reporting that the call came in Saturday evening when a crew member went missing. Again, the boat and crew are out of Nantucket. Newburyport's public library volunteer program was suspended by Mayor Reardon in June. The Daily News is reporting that the union workers in the library recently voted against the program, with the reason being that the volunteers were doing the work of union employees. It appears that the mayor's office would like to see the volunteer program continue in some fashion in the future. Newburyport City Councilor-at-Large Arfroz Khan and Lynn City Councilor-at-Large Brian LaPierre recently participated in an MSO's City Councilors Roundtable Zoomcast. I asked each how someone who has no experience as a city councilor becomes an effective public official after being elected for the first time. This is Afroz Khan.
I really do feel like, and that's such a good question, but I feel like I may be a good example of that because I didn't really participate in any of the city matters. I didn't even get the paper. So that's kind of my angle to it, but I was asked by folks that knew me in town who just knew me from my involvement with the schools. I have two girls who are now 17 and 14. And, you know, I'm a very active participant in our community because of, through the schools, because of my children. But I would say, you know, effectiveness is, it's, I think it kind of comes from your spark of why you want to do it. And then over time, obviously, you could kind of shape that into more being passionate about certain topics. But for me, really, I think it came down to trying to help my community out a little bit more and having some interest to apply my background. You know, I'm an engineer and I like numbers and I like being very kind of methodologically focused when I try to look and see how are we coming about decision making. But it goes to the canvassing. I will tell you that to get elected, I ran in 2017. I went and almost knocked on every door, but I know we're exaggerating. But I feel like I had really gone and canvassed every day. I carved out 4 hours to, you know, towards the end of the day to go this road now, this street, this neighborhood, this ward, because I was running for at large. And those conversations at the door were incredibly eye-opening and made me really shape where people were coming from. So I think that's a big part of it, is being willing to listen to your neighbors or really meet them face-to-face is incredibly, I also think, very effective.
Councilor Brian LaPierre also gave his thoughts on how to be an effective councilor.
And I've always kind of had this bug to run, this penchant to run, But it didn't strike me until I had a very successful teaching career. I taught 11 years in Lynn, and now I work for teachers up at the American Federation of Teachers Massachusetts, and statewide organization represents teachers and so forth. So I had an impact on students and kids and families, and was having all these interactions leading into around 2015, when I decided, you know, my family and I got together. I'm also, I'm married to a teacher. I have two children, two boys, opposite of the counselor there, but similar ages, 16 and 12. They were going through the schools in the public schools here in Lynn. And I was always been known as an educational, public educational advocate. And, you know, there was an open seat that arose. It's very rare that they come up in Lynn. And I ran for the open seat back in 2015. I did all the things that the counselor said about raising money and going to events and knocking on doors and canvassing and spending an inordinate amount of time on the weekends and evenings, convincing people and talking to people about the issues they cared about. And we were very successful that first year out. You know, I topped the ticket and haven't looked back in terms of in re-election in 17 and 19 and 21. So I enjoy my time on the council. I like to think that I'm advocating, like you say, why'd you get into it? It's really the people that I want to represent that I feel passionate about. And I'm a man of integrity. I speak up for them. I speak up for the voiceless. I really feel connected to neighborhoods. And I've always been a neighborhood person growing up here in Lynn and now being a homeowner. And all of those things just took shape, and they've kind of shaped me to be the person that I am, you know, who works for teachers, who's a labor person, a worker right advocate, a family man and a community activist, and all of those kind of just, they really do bode well when you're in elected government. So that's kind of my story as we head into my, what will be my fifth term, if I'm fortunate enough to win this fall.
Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Red Sox beat the Tigers yesterday 6-3, taking two games of the three-game weekend series. Next up, a game in Washington tomorrow night. Today, we are featuring another of our North Shore football coaches with our summer series as we learn more about the local coaches. Today, it is Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. He also coaches baseball at the school and knows that coaching the two sports is different.
Ball you could never do by yourself. Mm-hmm. I kind of figured that out as I started becoming a head coach. Baseball, you know, with an assistant or two, you can get a lot done. Football, you need to rely on so many different coaches to do their job, because you can't do it all as a head coach. You've got to have somebody working with your offensive line, somebody working with your running backs, your wide receivers, your quarterbacks, your linebackers, your safeties, your corners. There's so many moving parts that football, for me, motivating the kids was difficult because I took on too much. Mm. Now that I have figured out how to be a head coach and how to delegate and trust and get good people in good positions, like the coaching staff that I have now, now I can step back a little bit more as the head coach and be the motivator and the disciplinarian and do the things that I'm real comfortable doing, as I've been doing it for so long in so many different sports,
right,
motivating kids to be the best that they can be. And that's really, you try to get to that point. In basketball, when I coached basketball for many of those years, you could have one, maybe two assistants, and everything ran fine. Coaching Little League Baseball, one or two assistants. Football has always been such a different animal that you need 8, 9, 10 guys. You know, and you're talking about three different levels. So your freshman coaches, they've got to be at the top of their game. Your JV coaches, your varsity coaches, your positional coaches, your coordinators. There's so much involved in football that I feel much better now where I am than when I first started.
Wow.
I can, you know, really focus on the kids and you know, motivating them, disciplining them, and making sure that they're where they're supposed to be. Now that, you know, football is kind of, it's morphed into what I really think it should be. I'm more of a you know, the leader of the gang, and the gang does a lot of the grunt work.
At times during the season, there is always a need to make adjustments and corrections. And in football, that involves coordinating with a lot of people.
Well, the biggest thing for me is finding the right, make sure their heart's in the right place, that they're there for the kids. No one's there for the money. There's not a high school coach anywhere who's there for the money. They're there because they want to be there. And the thing that I found is I try to find guys that don't want my job. Because if you want my job, you always worry about undermining or second guessing. All the guys that I have on my staff, for the most part, they're where they want to be. They don't really have a desire to go someplace else because they've been offered jobs in other programs, and they stay where they are. You know, having my foster son Doug, one of the best running backs you guys ever had.
Great story.
A running backs coach.
Yep.
He's been offered. Endicott's talked to him. Assumption's talked to him. Other high schools have talked to him. Doug's right where he wants to be. He's not going anywhere. He likes being the running back coach at Peabody High School. You know, and you know, finding guys like Justin Powers, my defensive coordinator. People have talked to him about coming to go other schools, and Justin tells them, "This is it. I'm at the top of the mountain. I'm not looking to go anyplace else." Matt O'Brien, one of my offensive coordinators, been in Peabody football just as long as I have, if not longer. He's not going anywhere. He's not looking to leave. He's right where he wants to be. And I think the more coaches you can get like that, and I can go on about all my coaches, they're very happy coaching in Peabody. They're very happy being on this staff. They're not trying to become the head coach. We're all on the same page. And just like in a football team, you know, you need 11 guys working as one machine. You know, my coaching staff is 11 or 12 guys, you know, basically working as one machine. We all know what we want. We all know what our expectations are. They all know what their responsibilities are, and they do very, very well. We're very, very lucky to have the guys.
Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. That is sports. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Monday, everybody, and thank you for listening to North Shore Today. We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.